Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the joy it is to be together as your people and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I pray that as we spend time in your word now, that you would please help us to understand what it says and remove any distractions from our minds, and that your spirit would work in us to transform us to be more like your Son. Amen. I used to work on a flower farm. That is the kind with petals, not the kind of gluten kind. And one of the big parts of my job was delivering flower orders to different florists down the south coast, from Wollongong, sometimes as far down as Nowra. It was quite pleasant, actually, driving a big van full of flowers down the coast. People were very often happy to see me, although mostly happy to see the flowers that I was driving, not the smelly 23-year-old who was driving the van. But one Wednesday morning, I remember I was doing my run and I delivered the florist delivery to a florist in Kiama, and just having a conversation about, as so often, what are you doing this weekend? And we'd often share about what's going on. But this particular Wednesday morning, in 2 days' time, was Easter. And she said that she would be enjoying spending time off with family because that's what Easter's all about, isn't it? That's what Easter's all about. What would you say if you're in my position? Do you want to know what I actually said? I gotta keep going. Not a great answer. What is Easter all about? Family? The long weekend? Chocolate? Laid out of bunnies that lay eggs? Well, the short answer, as good as chocolate is, Paul's got a big bowl of eggs somewhere that I'm looking for. As good as all that is, the short answer is that it's about Jesus. Did you know that? Ah, good. The long answer is what 1 Corinthians 15 is about. So make sure you've got it open in front of you, and we're going to have a look at it together. And firstly, we're going to see in our outline, Christ died and was buried. In verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul gives a summary of the gospel, the things that have happened grounded in human history concerning the man Jesus of Nazareth. And if you wanted to boil down what the gospel is in only a couple of sentences, here is a pretty good place to start. Verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Now, there are four crucial elements in this phrase. Have a look up on the screen, the next slide. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. Now, in this little section of verses, we have the event, the meaning, and the evidence, which we'll see on the next slide. The event, Christ died. Now, that by itself isn't very significant in one sense. People die all the time. Even the fact that Jesus was crucified, in a certain way of thinking, isn't that significant because under Roman rule, people were crucified all the time. We need to understand not just the event, but the meaning of the event. Why? Why did Jesus die? We explored it in detail 2 days ago. If you weren't here, we missed you. Why did Jesus die? Well, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Jesus' death means something. Jesus willingly went to the cross to suffer and die for our sins. To take the punishment that you and I rightly deserved, he died in our place. And the next statement is the evidence. In yellow, down the bottom there, is that Jesus was buried. And that's also very significant. Have you ever wondered when we say the Apostles' Creed together, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? Well done, the three of you who got that. Why does that matter? Will you only bury someone if they're dead? And Jesus, the real man, in a real place, in a real moment in history, really died. Have you noticed that if you read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they go into great detail about the fact that Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, wrapped up in linen, and placed in a tomb. It's significant because it really happened. Jesus truly, historically, literally, really died. Dead. Can't make it any clearer. And the reason that's important is, firstly, if Jesus didn't die, we don't have forgiveness from our sin. And secondly, in order to establish that someone rose from the dead, you kind of need the first part of that to happen. But then what happened next? What else is Easter all about? Point two, Christ rose and was seen. Have a look with me at verse 4 and 5. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, etc. Now, in parallel, these verses to the previous ones, Paul again gives four statements. Not for me, but that works well too. One, he was raised. Secondly, on the third day, according to the scriptures, and he appeared. The event, the meaning, and the evidence for the event. He was raised. In verse 5 to 8, Paul shows the historic evidence for Jesus' real, physical, bodily, literal resurrection from the dead. Jesus' followers didn't imagine it. They didn't come up with a way to process their grief by inventing a feel-good fairy story. His disciples didn't develop a metaphor of resurrection to describe Jesus' teaching and influence and love living on in our hearts forever. Isn't that nice? Jesus truly died, and Jesus truly, bodily, rose from the dead. Not as a ghost, not as a spirit, but as a man. The same man he was before he died, Jesus of Nazareth. The apostles were utterly convinced that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Of the 12 of them, 11 of them were brutally killed because they wouldn't stop talking about it. And the last one, John, was imprisoned on an island in solitary confinement for the rest of his life, also because he wouldn't stop talking about it. And none of them changed their minds. None of them confessed at the last moment that they'd made it all up. They all gladly died because of what they knew to be true. Now, I can't think of a single reason why someone would be gladly tortured, beaten, killed for something that they know was a fake. If you've got a good reason why someone would do that, I'd love to know it, because I can't think of anything. Now, in verse 6, we see that Jesus appeared. We see the evidence. It says he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Did you catch that? Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth, explaining Jesus' resurrection from the dead, at the same moment in human history that there are some couple of hundred or more people alive who personally saw Jesus risen from the dead. This isn't a later addition to Christianity because some medieval monk decided that we needed a happier ending, as if the church needed a distraction or some encouragement due to the 50th round of lockdowns because the bubonic plague is ravaging medieval England again. It's not something Jesus' followers invented as a get-rich-quick scheme. Also because they didn't get rich. They died quickly, if anything. From the very beginning of what would come to be known as Christianity, this small, insignificant number of Jewish men and women told everyone they knew that the world had been turned upside down. Everything was different. The long-awaited king had finally come. He died and rose again so that anyone who believes will be forgiven, saved from what we rightly deserve, God's judgment. And just like Jesus' death, his resurrection is also said here to be according to the scriptures. Verse 4, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is, what was written in the Old Testament about what must happen was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. Did you notice in our first reading in Hosea chapter 6, the reference to the third day, which is also quoted here? The third day is symbolic of salvation or rescue. So the saving of God's people on the third day, perhaps symbolically somewhere in the Old Testament, is brought to fulfillment in Jesus' resurrection on the third day, literally. But more than just Hosea 6 or a few Old Testament verses that are trotted out every Christmas and Easter, the entire Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, is brought into new light because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose according to the scriptures. After his resurrection, as Jesus walked along the road with some of his disciples, we're told in Luke chapter 24, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The whole Bible tells us about Jesus. Jesus died for our sins and was buried. He was raised from the dead and was seen to fulfill what God promised he would do to save his people. This is the gospel that Paul received from Jesus himself and that Paul passed on to the Corinthian church. What's Easter all about? Not family or a long weekend necessarily, or chocolate or bunnies, but Jesus' death and resurrection. Back up in verse 3, Paul tells the Corinthian church that this gospel message is of first importance. Why? Because in verse 2, he says, if you hold firmly to it, you will be saved. It's not important. It's not even really important. First importance. What's of first importance to you? Is it this? Or is it something else? You might be sitting here thinking to yourself, yeah, I've heard this before, Tim. I know, it's okay, I believe it. And that's great. But that's not what I asked. Paul doesn't say, I passed on to you something that you're supposed to mentally consent to for an hour a week when you're at church. Is this the single most important thing in your life? If it's not, your priorities are wrong. When I was in year 12, looking ahead to the excitement of the rest of my life, thinking about what to study at uni or what to do next, my priorities were wrong. What I was most concerned with, which I didn't realize until perhaps later looking back on it, was what was of first importance to me was me. Even though I believed in Jesus, I went to church, went to youth group, I knew that Jesus died for my sin and rose from the dead, that news, that gospel message wasn't driving all of my thinking and decision making. It wasn't what fueled my desires. It wasn't what I loved first and foremost. It was there. It was just kind of off to the side or off in the background. But this message is of first importance. It is more important than money, more important than your career, more important than comfort, more important than religious freedom, than who wins the election, more important than family, more important than ticking off everything on your bucket list, more important than getting what you want. Jesus' death and resurrection is of first importance. If you had to decide between giving your kids the best education they can get or ensuring that they hold to the message of Jesus above everything else, and for whatever reason you could only pick one, which one would you choose? Is Jesus' death and resurrection higher on your list than getting the dream house, than taking advantage of the Easter long weekend to maximize the holiday. Because this really matters. Why? Our third and final point, why the resurrection matters. If you've got your Bibles there, have a look at verse 12 to 19. We read Paul's response to the church in Corinth and the few people there who were teaching that there was no resurrection of the dead. Now, it appears that they held to some sort of maybe spiritual life after death, not a bodily resurrection from the dead. They kind of thought, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, but that's kind of it. No one else does in the same way. And so from verse 12 onwards, Paul addresses the inconsistency of their teaching. He says pretty much, if there's no resurrection of the dead, like you guys are saying, then that has to mean that not even Jesus has been risen from the dead. And so if Jesus has not been raised, the conclusion has to be that your faith is useless, you're still dead in sin, and your dear brothers and sisters who have already died are gone. There is no hope. They're lost forever. Sin and death have won. And here's the kicker, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus has not bodily risen from the dead, then we only have hope in Jesus for this life. And Christianity is pathetic. It's a joke. It's garbage. All of us are just wasting our time being here. I'd rather be at the beach. If it's fake. Just, I love you all. I love being here. But Jesus' resurrection matters. It's not an optional extra. It's not heated seats in your brand new 2024 Ford Ranger. Must be very nice. Especially in Goulburn. The resurrection is crucial to the Christian faith. It's not something that you can fit around your preferences. It's not something that's only when it's convenient. It's of first importance. Because if Jesus has not risen from the dead, sin and death have won. But Jesus has been raised from the dead. Our faith is not in vain. We are not lost to sin and death forever because Jesus died and rose. Why does the resurrection matter? Because it changes everything. Later on in chapter 15, from verse 22 onwards, we read this. Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him." Verse 24, "Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he," Jesus, "must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." Because Jesus rose from the dead, one, Jesus will return to judge the world. Two, we will rise from the dead to live forever with him. And so if Jesus did die for our sins, and he did rise from the dead, and he will come back to judge the world, and we will live forever with him, how is it possible to know all that, to believe all that, and still live with exactly the same priorities and goals and desires as everyone else out there who doesn't know or doesn't care? If Jesus defeated sin and death, how is it possible to brush it off as if it's only a little bit more important than getting a sleep in on a Sunday morning? How can you know that one day Jesus is coming back to finally and completely judge the world and all those who do not believe right now, our friends, our neighbors, our family, are sitting under the sword of God's judgment? And to still think that the most important thing in life is working hard to save up for a new house or to live up the golden years of retirement or just doing whatever happens to feel good right now. If we have hope only for this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. D. Dear friends, the resurrection matters because it changes everything. Jesus died, Jesus rose, and one day he will return to judge the living and the dead. And so if you believe it, prove it. If we believe in Jesus, we have to continually remember to lift our eyes off our own circumstances and to encourage and help everyone else to lift our eyes off our circumstances, off our own little patch of grass, off whatever we might be distracting ourselves with or using to self-medicate, and look up. Look ahead. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead and is returning to judge reorients everything. Our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our relationships, what we spend our money on, the words we say, how we use our spare time, the things we watch. It's as if you were going on a bushwalk and suddenly realize that you've been reading your compass and your map wrong the entire time, and you've just now figured out where you are and where you're meant to be going. Fixing our minds on Jesus' resurrection and his return reorients our compass. And if you've just now realized that you've been walking the wrong way, there's still time to turn back. But not for much longer. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures and appeared to many. And so we have hope. Real hope. Real, sure, lasting, eternal hope. The meaninglessness, the hopelessness, the monotony of just going through the motions in life, of living for the weekend or for retirement, have been completely reoriented, flipped upside down. And all those things that we once held as really important have been now put in their right place because the gospel is of first importance. Because Jesus did rise from the dead, our faith in him is not meaningless. Our sin no longer condemns us. Death is not the end. We have hope not only in this life, but also for the life to come. When we too will be raised bodily from the dead to be with Jesus and be with him forever. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for Resurrection Sunday, for the good news of Easter, for the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, and because of what he has done, that we have hope. Lord, please help us to reorient how we view things, how we live our lives, so that this would be of first importance, and that we would encourage one another to do the same. And we pray that Jesus would come back soon. Amen.